One thing I forgot here. Piper wanted a cake with blueberries and strawberries and cream and sparkles. That was the order that she gave Mom, I guess, last night before she went to bed. She would also like a card and a hat. There you go. So, yes, today's Piper's birthday. And somebody else here. Love when you tell stories about your granddaughter. It's my granddaughter's birthday today, too. She's 11. Well, happy birthday. Pass it along. There we go.
It's your birthday.
Yeah, and yeah, and yeah, being a grandparent, best job in the freaking world. So, gotta love it. All right. Got an email from Mike Filey about a week and a half ago, telling me about his new book. Would I like to talk about it? Well, yeah. Always enjoy talking to Mike Filey about his observations about this city. But the new book is really kind of fantastic. It pops for no other reason than the photography that's in it. Toronto Spirit of Place, Mike Filey joining us this morning. How are you, Mike?
Morning. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really enjoying. I'm kind of geeky like this about these sorts of things. When you know the history of this city fascinates me on so many levels, but I can just randomly open up, you know, a page in your book here, and what strikes me about the whole thing is how green this city is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got to give full credit to John McCrory. Maybe just a brief background how I got to meet John about 20 years ago. He contacted me. He's an Ottawa photographer, professional color photographer from Ottawa. So I was a little surprised to hear from somebody from Ottawa who was interested in Toronto. And what he was asking me is, he does color photography, and I do black and white stuff on old buildings and streetcars and that kind of stuff. He said, how would you like to work on a book with me? And I thought, gee, I've never done a book that has any color in it except for maybe the odd color postcard. And those postcards are all hand-tinted, so quite frankly, they're phony. Nobody really knew the colors over in Scotland when they decided to put some color into old pictures of Toronto. So we got together with a book, it would be 20 years ago. And over the years, the city has changed so rapidly that John decided that he would like to update, which means virtually all the pictures all the color pictures had to change because of the rapid change in the look of Toronto. But what remains constant, and you've hit on it, is the greenery. We've got so much green in this city, and it just, as you can see in the book, it just jumps off the pages.
Well, and it's a lot of things. We take it for granted. You know, I think a lot of people think of this sort of being this, you know, concrete jungle, glass, steel, asphalt everywhere. But again, you know, it's funny. I just opened the page again, and it lands on parks. 17% of Toronto's urban area is green space. That's huge.
Yeah, well, we got to keep it. I mean, that's the other thing, yeah, I think we're trying to say in the book. Certainly John is. Having come down from Ottawa, he just is absolutely fascinated by the greenery, as you mentioned. And my part in the book was really to do the text and to do the old photographs. I mean, that's my thing. Sure, I have a camera, but when you find somebody like John McCrory, who is an absolute expert on it, and we wrapped it together in this new book, which is just literally just going into the stores because Christmas is coming.
Well, you know what I love, and you talk about the comparisons, though, between, you know, the older photographs and the newer photographs, and it really gives you a sense of the momentum behind this city's growth, and I say that in as much as it hasn't just been steady. You have seen an increase in the growth and the vitality of this city, and I guess in some cases what you've illustrated is that, you know, what's there now has been there for a long time, but it also indicates to me that we weren't really very good at preserving some of the stuff that we should have paid attention to.
No, and that prompts the question from people when they ask, well, why are you saving that old building? Why would you bother with that old building? Well, the fact of the matter is that if we don't start saving some of the stuff that's quite literally not the best, if we don't save it, we won't have anything. And so frequently I hear people saying, you know, tear it down. Well, once you do that, you can't put it back up again. So what we've gotten into is this facadism that goes around the city, where you take down everything but the front wall, and you retain it, and you put in the new stuff behind it. And I guess that's what you got to do in this day and age. You can't save too many old city halls or union stations. We just don't have them left.
Yeah, well, Old City Hall is a good example. And what are your thoughts on this in terms of how they what we should do with it? I mean, I really like the idea that's been floated about turning it into sort of a Toronto museum.
Well, we've talked. David Crombie, I can recall now, this has got to be, well, even before I did that first book with John McCrory, so it would be at least 30 years ago, talked about the museum or the story of Toronto. That was the name of it, rather than museum. It was the story of Toronto. And it went to committee after committee after committee. And you may recall, or certainly your listeners may recall, when the Eaton Company wanted to just knock it down. And then they came to an agreement where, well, we'll keep the clock tower, but we want the rest for a new Eaton store. And people today don't even know what I'm talking about when I say
Eaton. What's an Eaton store, yeah.
But that was the ultimate goal of the Eaton people, was to get rid of that pile of rock, they called it. And then, fortunately, a group called the Friends of Old City Hall came out of nowhere and started washing some of the pink sandstone, and people's eyes went, wow, you know, that's really something worth keeping. But it came within a whisper of actually being obliterated on that corner, and all you would have heard was the chimes on the clock tower, and maybe look up and see the clock, and that would have been it. But that came very close to being demolished.
What's out of all of this, and I know you like to tell the stories about the city, is there one story that sort of you find resonates with people who live in this city that they didn't know about the city?
Oh, there are lots of things. I mean, Casa Loma is a good example of a building that was built by a millionaire, and it was built to show off. Sir Henry Pellet wanted to show off. There were a few multimillionaires back at the turn, I got to be careful, turn of the last century, yeah. Not this, the last century, back in the early 1900s when they would outdo each other. Benvenuto on the Avenue Road Hill was another example of a guy who wanted to show off, but Sir Henry beat them all by building the castle. And as he went through life, people made fun of him, and now people go to the castle, and they either say, wow, this is really neat, or they say, what idiot would build a castle to live in? Well, as it turned out, he lost all his money through various misadventures, which you find out when you actually visit the castle. There's a great story about him. But when he died in the back room of his former chauffeur's house in Mimico, a small room. In Mimico, and the only people that would chat with him were his former employees, some of them. And in this case, it was the chauffeur who said, Sir Henry, come and live with me. And that's where he lived out his life, in Mimico, in a small room, in a small house just off the lakeshore.
Well, now we know that there's a steakhouse in at Casa Loma, but I see in the photograph in the book here that it was once a hotel?
Yes, for a short time, an American company came to town, along with a Toronto architect by the name of Sparling, who decided that this would be a great place for a hotel. Unfortunately, a thing called the Depression came along. That created havoc for them. Then there was an attempt to turn it into condos.
Oh, really?
Now, we think condos are something brand new. Well, Sir Henry went a little crazy when he heard that all his rooms were going to be subdivided and it would be a condo surrounded by what we know today as townhouses. Every time I go by the castle, I think of poor old Sir Henry had such a great life going for him, and then the rug was pulled out, and he wound up in this back room down in Mimico.
Well, the photography around this, and again, you get a sense of the scope of the property. Again, very green, but some terrific stories in here, great photographs. Mike, congratulations on the book. Good luck with it.
Thank you. Yes. I should mention that the other thing that I love to take pictures of myself, and John was good enough to incorporate a number of streetcar pictures.
Oh, yes.
Because that's my initial fascination when I grew up at Bloor and Bathurst. I was absolutely fascinated by streetcars of one sort and another. And, of course, we were retiring one model, and a new model is hitting the streets, so Toronto remains a streetcar city.
Yeah, and again, I randomly opened a book, and there I am at the northeast corner of Yonge and King, and you can see the various versions of the streetcars over the years. It's a fascinating look into the city, so much of what we take for granted. So thanks for doing this. I'm quite enjoying it.
Thank you. Hope everybody enjoys the book.
Indeed. Toronto, Spirit of Place. Mike Filey is the author, and John McCrory takes the exceptional photographs there. So if you're into that kind of thing, I again, be a tourist in your own town. That's a great way to start. just find out about the history of this city. There's a lot going on here, and underneath the surface, Mike's book kind of digs in on that. All right, we are at 8:27. Don't go away, because we got things you need to know coming up. 2 degrees right now in downtown Toronto. Sun and cloud promised today and a high of 13.